Blog Talk Radio.
And here we are. It's the Jeff Bushman Experience. The intro that we were supposed to do didn't go. So let's try that one more time, okay?
TJB Radio. Intriguing programs you want, information you need.
What a lovely voice that was. Now, here we are. This is the Jeff Bushman Experience. Thank you for joining us. If you are doing so live, thank you for doing that. If you're doing it in the podcast edition, we do this show live on Sundays, beginning at 4:30 Mountain, 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific, and I think, yes, that would be 5:30 p.m. Central Time. And if you're elsewhere in the world other than the United States, you'll have to figure out the time yourself, I'm afraid. One other one I know is Atlantic Time in Canada, and that would be 7:30 East Atlantic Time. Anyway, all of that aside, welcome to the program. I'm glad you've joined us. You can hear our prior programs, and we've been doing programs with one major gap in time since 2009 here on Blog Talk Radio. Since you could be hearing this program elsewhere, I will tell you that the mothership where you can hear the program and prior shows is blogtalkradio.com/Jeff-Bushman. And that would be me. Today we'll be discussing several different subjects. One is the unfortunate murder yesterday of two New York City police officers. We're also going to be talking about Cuba briefly, and a little longer perhaps, the war on Christmas, so-called. We have 30 minutes, now a little less, 27:39, to go. You're welcome to call in if you want, and you have the wonderful capacity, if you're listening live, to change our schedule by bringing up another subject or by talking on a subject with us long enough that we won't have time to talk about something else. Let me tell you before we discuss those subjects that one of them, at least, we have covered very recently in a column of sorts at Medium.com. Medium.com is a site that was started by one of the co-founders of Twitter, and it is designed to be a writing site. Anyone can write there. A number of those of us who are professional writers write there, but you don't have to be professional. You can write there anyway. Very interesting concept and very interesting process. If you'd like to see what we wrote, we meaning I, wrote about the war on Christmas and why it's beneficial, you can do that at medium.com/@Jeff Bushman1, the Arabic numeral 1. So medium.com/@Jeff Bushman1, the at being the same at sign you use for email. So that's that subject. And if you'd like to see some of our other writing in terms of what's available on Amazon and on that specific site, you can go to bushmanbooks.blogspot.com. Bushman is B-U-S-H-M-A-N, like an Aborigine. bushmanbooks.blogspot.com. And speaking of Amazon, on that site, you can support this program by going to that site and from there going to Amazon if you're intending to or thinking about making a purchase from Amazon. Should you make a purchase from Amazon after going through our site, it won't cost you anything more, but they will throw a few pennies our way. And let's get into the program now in terms of our subject matter. Before we do that, one other thing. I apologize. I said we were going to do something, and then we changed thoughts. The show we're doing now is a show we're doing more or less every Sunday. There's a chance that about once every four Sundays we won't. But generally speaking, every Sunday. There is another program we're going to do on Blog Talk Radio, which we have not lined up yet, but it's going to be on another day of the week, also 30 minutes, but that one's going to be exclusively for the purpose, at least by present plan, of doing the interviews that we do. So we'll have interesting guests. If you know of an interesting guest that you think might be a good person to interview, or you want to write to us on some other subject, you can do that as well. The email address is tjbradio@gmail.com, tjbradio@gmail.com, and if looking at the If you're looking at the, or listening to, rather, the programs that are on Blog Talk Radio that we've done is not enough, and I don't know why they wouldn't be. You can also hear some of our programs that we did on Going Beyond Radio, which is no longer around. You can hear that at posthaven.com, and more specifically, tjbradio.posthaven.com. Anyway, that's all the commercial stuff we'll do at this moment. Let's talk about the murder that took place yesterday, and obviously it's unfortunate and tragic, and the person who did it apparently made some comments online that he was going to go out and police officers in response to the Eric Garner and Michael Brown killings. The Michael Brown killing is questionable in terms of why the police officer, Wilson, wasn't indicted, but as we discussed on our program 2 weeks ago, the killing of Eric Garner not having been the subject of an indictment is itself criminal. And I don't want to go into that more, but if you want to hear our thoughts on that, you can check the program we did on December 7th. In any event, the two police officers being killed yesterday, again, all the terrible things you can say about the police officers being killed, they didn't deserve it, there's no excuse for it or justification, and the extent to which it has a relationship with the Eric Garner killing is only that connection which could be made by the sick mind which perpetrated their murders. The other fact in this, however, is, or the other subject in this, rather, is the police response to Mayor de Blasio of New York City. They turned their back on him when he got up to speak about this in front of police. That's childish, but they're entitled to their childish behavior. What they're not entitled to is the comment that someone made. I don't mean as a matter of free speech, certainly they have that right, but in terms of logic and sense and just simple human decency, to say, as the head of their union did, that Mayor de Blasio has blood on his hands for the killing of those officers by the lunatic who did the killing is obnoxious. That's just crazy. The thing that they're really mad about is not that he said that the police officer should be indicted who put the chokehold and killed Eric Garner, which he didn't actually say, but that he said that he has had a conversation, he and his wife have had a conversation with their interracial son, mixed-race son, about how to deal with a police encounter and to be particularly careful. That they objected to and said that by so saying in public, he threw the police under the bus is worse than nonsense. The reality is everyone needs to be careful when they have an encounter with the police, but beyond that, kids of mixed race need to have a particular caution and a particular training to be cautious and to do what the officer says, be careful, don't move your hands too fast. Frankly, I follow those rules, and I am not a person of color. When I'm stopped by police, my hands go on the steering wheel and where at the top where the officer can see. That's assuming I'm driving, of course. Otherwise, I don't carry a steering wheel with me. But that's what you've got to do. You've got to be careful because you don't want the police officer to think that you're going for a gun or that you're doing something else which you shouldn't be doing. And the reality is police have a greater expectation, unjustifiably I would suggest, they have a greater expectation that a person of color is going to do that, especially a black male. The reality is, as I said, that the expectation or anticipation is not justified, but it's there. So if you're a parent of a kid of mixed race, you need to have that conversation with your kid, especially if it's a male kid. And that's just for self-protection. Now, if you think that's wrong, okay, too bad. You don't say the mayor has blood on his hands, because he didn't cause that, even in the mind of an insane person. When Sarah Palin was talking a number of years ago about the abortion doctors and how they were wanted people and so forth, and then an abortion doctor was killed, it was equally wrong to say that it was her fault that those doctors were killed or shot, not killed. One of each happened, as I recall. The fact is, she was wrong to say what she said. And you may disagree with that, and in fact, you may think Mayor de Blasio was wrong to say what he said, and I think he was right. But either way, that's beside the point. Sarah Palin didn't cause the killings of the abortion or the shootings of the abortion doctor, and Bill de Blasio didn't cause the killing of these two police officers. And to view it any other way, I would respectfully suggest, is crap. Okay, enough said. You're listening to the Jeff Bushman Experience on Blog Talk Radio. The call-in number, which I'm not sure I gave, is 347-850-8702. Can you tell I haven't done this for a while? Okay. That's the situation with that in terms of the police. We need to talk briefly about the war on Christmas. Some conservatives have said that there's a war on Christmas. To some extent, I don't really know what they mean, except that I think what they're really trying to say is that people who are in stores and elsewhere should not be going around saying happy holidays. In fact, one of my friends on Facebook put up a picture that she put on from somewhere else that says, it's Merry Christmas, damn it, not Happy Holidays. Or maybe it was the other way around. But the emphasis was, it's Merry Christmas. Well, no, it's not. Okay, basically, what they're saying is that since most people in America are Christian, saying Merry Christmas is appropriate, and if you don't like it, tough. Majority rules, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Well, the problem is that the basic premise of that thinking is wrong. Outside the issue of morality, kindness, civility, and all of that. If you're Christian and you want to annoy people who don't share your beliefs, go ahead with Merry Christmas, because that's the way to do it. But if we're trying to have a society, which I think we're all aiming for, in which people try to be nice to each other, it's the wrong move. And Christmas, if you think about it, and why would we? But Christmas is supposed to be a season where we're a little nicer to each other than at other times, though obviously there are people who say, and I understand the sentiment, that we should try to be the kind person that everybody is during the Christmas season all year long. Okay. But to say Merry Christmas to people who don't observe that holiday is at the very least an intrusion. And here's a surprising fact for you if you don't know it already. Most people, yes, even most people in the United States, aren't Christian. Now, before you leave the program in disgust, or you start quoting to me with a phone call that the survey show or the statistics show that most people are Christian believers, you need to drill down a little bit. The reports don't say that. What they say is that most people, 78% of all Americans, self-identify as Christians. But that's wrong. If you drill down, that's a percentage of the proportion of Americans, or the percentage of Americans, who identify themselves as believers who are Christian. Let me say it again. Among all believers in a deity, 70 to 78%, depending on which survey or study you look at, I self-identify as Christian. Okay? But that completely eliminates, or at least discounts, all those people who are either agnostics or atheists. Okay, and there are a lot of them. So let's look at the numbers again. And my own belief, by the way, is that the numbers themselves are not that terribly important. But if you look at how many Americans are atheists, agnostics, Jews, Muslims, Hindu, members of Baha'i, and Buddhists, and all of the other non-Christian believers that I can't think of at the moment, you'll find that Christians then make up somewhere between just under to just over 50%. So let's say it's 50%. That means the bell ringers and proselytizers are running the risk of intruding on about half of the people they greet with Merry Christmas. Now, I'm not saying that the bell ringers are themselves necessarily saying Merry Christmas to everybody, but many of them do, and many of them are attempting, or perhaps unconsciously, to proselytize in favor of Christianity. Now, so what I'm saying to you folks is that if you're saying Merry Christmas, or if you're a Christian, you're not really a member of a majority. Now, that's okay. That doesn't make you any less special, but it means you're not as dominant a group as you thought you were. And as I was alluding to before, the numbers really aren't that important. So if they're wrong, they're wrong. If you disagree with me, that's fine. And there are obviously people who will debate those numbers. And people who come up with different numbers, but it doesn't really matter. we don't live in a society where everything is determined by a majority vote in governmental matters, which this clearly is not. That would be a complete democracy, but we don't live in a pure democracy. Certain things are not determined by majority. That's why we have courts, for one thing. If they were determined by majority, there would have been slavery well after the Civil War actually occurred to kind of kill that. Most people either favored or were neutral about slavery until the war settled that matter. Also, when segregation was invalidated, that was a majority opinion. That is, it was a majority opinion that segregation really wasn't so bad, or in some cases, it was great. Same thing with interracial marriage and the first court decisions, not now so much, because that apparently is now a majority view that same-sex marriage is okay, but the original court decisions that came out on same-sex marriage saying that to ban those was unconstitutional, at the time, the majority felt differently, and you may still feel differently. You may still feel that same-sex marriage is a terrible idea. But bottom line, at some point, most people do not feel that way, but initially they do. But again, majority rules don't make things right or wrong. They just make things the opinion of most people. So back in the, I believe it was early 60s, when the so-called Love case occurred, that was the one that invalidated restrictions on interracial marriage, most people, again, favored restrictions on interracial marriage or disfavored interracial marriage. But even if, again, those numbers aside, even if non-Christians make up only a third of the population or 10%, do you want to seem obnoxious to that many people, 10% of the people you run across, by giving them your holiday greeting of choice? Okay, you don't care? Okay, in that case, there's not a whole lot of hope for you to be a civilized, polite human being. Because polite human beings, civilized human beings, don't impose their beliefs on others. They don't have to be shy about their beliefs. And if you're interested in mine, if we don't have a business relationship, I'll probably share my views with you, unless you want to ask mine just so you can tell me how I'm wrong. In other words, what I'm saying to you is that you're welcome to express your beliefs. Just don't push them on other people. And you're doing that, I would respectfully suggest, when you're saying Merry Christmas, when you don't know my beliefs, if I'm the one you're saying it to, or the person to whom you're speaking. How do you know? Why do you assume that they share your beliefs? That if I said to you, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah, and at a different time of year, Happy Ramadan, if that's the right expression to use, forgive me, my Muslim listeners, if I've misstated that. But if I said that to you on the assumption that you were African-American, Jewish, or Muslim in the order that I gave those, would you not, outside the fact that you might think it was funny that I did such a thing, funny, obnoxious, or just funny, would you not feel that it was being kind of rude or obnoxious to assume that you held those beliefs? Okay. I probably would not ask you your religious beliefs or your political views, not because I don't care, although in certain circumstances I won't. But when I was growing up, which really was not that terribly long ago, although it will seem so to some of you, I was always taught that to ask someone their religion or how much money they paid for their house or their car, for that matter, was rude. And those things seem to have gone away, but I still think it is something of an intrusion. And I probably won't ask you your political views except kind of on the margins. In other words, what do you think of what just happened with X? Because in reality, if I ask you your political views more generally, are you liberal, are you conservative, are you moderate, and I hold a different view, the likelihood is we're not going to persuade each other. You're not going to persuade me, and I'm not going to persuade you. So it's very often there's not much point to it. And even though that's kind of what I'm doing in this discussion, again, it's only on this item at the margin. It's not really about politics in the normal sense. I'm just trying to give you a perspective you might not have thought about, so maybe you will, instead of acting automatically the way you have in the past without the benefit of that information. So if you don't mind being a rude boor, go ahead and say Merry Christmas. But I'd really like to suggest you might want to enlist on the other side in this particular war. Anyway, that's my opinion on that, and yes, that was prepared, but did express my views. And most of what I was delivering to you is available at that site that I gave you a while ago, so if you want to look back at it again, rather than having to listen to my voice, you can do that at medium.com/@JeffBushman1. And to show what an idiot I am, and even knowing this is radio, when I said at, in the air, I, with my finger, made an A and a circle. That's the at you use. In our remaining 9 minutes and 39 seconds, I'm going to talk briefly about Cuba. And the president having changed, to the extent he can do so unilaterally, the policy towards Cuba. We're going to recognize Cuba. They're going to recognize us. We're going to do some things, some of which do not require an act of Congress, because that will obviously be difficult to get. I want to talk about three countries, actually. One is the former USSR, the People's Republic of China, and Cuba. And why is it I make that that hookup? And I'll tell you why. All three of them are communist countries. That is, the USSR was. Russia, that was part of the USSR and is now an independent country, is nominally a democracy, although it clearly is not what we recognize as a democracy in normal terms. But at least people vote. They may not have much of a choice, but they do vote. But all of that aside, the USSR was a communist country from its founding as a country following the revolution, its revolution. China has been a communist country since its revolution, and Cuba, of course, has been a communist country, but actually not right at the time of its revolution, but a couple of years later. But let's look at the timing on this. We recognized the Soviet Union in 1933, okay, that was 16 years after its revolution and becoming a communist entity in 1917. Now, for a long time, we didn't recognize it. People don't generally understand this anymore, but in those years in our country, there was a very strong anti-communist tendency. A lot of people think that only occurred after World War II. It did not. The anti-communist tendency goes way back. In fact, it was very strong even in the period I'm researching for a book right now on Roosevelt, in the late 30s and early 40s. Very strong anti-communist, as well as, of course, at the appropriate time, anti-fascist viewpoint in this country. But very strong anti-communism. But nonetheless, 16 years after the Russian Revolution, we recognized, with diplomatic recognition, the USSR, 16 years, okay? China, the People's Republic of China, became an entity in 1949 when the communists took over from the nationalists of Chiang Kai-shek and sent those folks off to what is now Taiwan. The People's Republic of China formed in 1949, and in 1979, under Jimmy Carter, we finally recognized the People's Republic of China and exchanged ambassadors and set up diplomatic relations. Nixon had started that effectively by going there in 1972, but the actual recognition did not take place until 1979. That was 30 years after that country became an entity with a communist regime, and of course it still is. Cuba became a communist country in 1961. The revolution actually took place in 1959, but the declaration of it as a communist country was in 1961. Okay, and that's the time at which we began all of the cutoff, the embargo, the elimination of diplomatic relations, and so forth. 1961. From 1961 to 2014, the very end of 2014, obviously, is 53 years. Why should it take as long? I mean, clearly there were a lot of presidents we've had in office since then, but it took 53 years for Cuba, 30 for China, 16 for the USSR, and all of those other policies, those other situations where we didn't and then we did have diplomatic relations, the changes took place for a real good reason. The policies we had in place weren't working. The same thing is said realistically and has been said by both the president and others. The policy we've had with Cuba hasn't done anything. Marco Rubio and Bob Menendez and many others would like us to maintain our lack of diplomatic relations with Cuba. But it isn't gaining anything for us except a feeling of vindictiveness or righteousness in our own minds about the fact that we are withholding something from the Castros. And in fact, they don't need us. They've been getting trade and aid from elsewhere in the world, a lot of trade from Canada and from Western Europe. The only one who's been disadvantaged by, the only ones, I should say, who have been disadvantaged by our policy have been American businesses and workers, because we haven't had the trade with Cuba that we would otherwise have, so we're not creating products for them while the rest of the world is. This is strictly a matter of business, realistically. You can say that the Castros are terrible, and in fact, they are. You can say that Cuba has been suffering under them, and to some extent that's true too, although they are doing better than they did under Batista. But the fact is that we have suffered as a country, and our businesses and our workers have suffered by our not trading with Cuba, and now that's coming to an end at one level, and if Congress gets its butt in gear, which is an open question, let's admit, the rest of that policy will fall away as well. That is the embargo. Congress has to act on that. So that's the situation as I see it. You're welcome to call us next week to talk about it. That would be December 28th, between Christmas and New Year's. Yes, I said Christmas. And additionally, you can when you listen to this in podcast, you can also, or if you're listening live, you can also email us. You can email us at tjbradio@gmail.com. And in the remaining minutes we have, which are just a few, let me go ahead. 30 minutes goes pretty quickly if you're actually doing a show, if you're interested in knowing that. The other things I wanted to mention, I did mention the Medium site. Let me also mention that if you go to bushmanbooks.blogspot.com, when you're thinking of ordering something from Amazon, that would be enormously appreciated. As said, it costs you zip and could gain us something and would be very much appreciated. The other thing that would be appreciated is that old slogan that used to be used by a supermarket chain. If you don't like the show, send us a note, tjbradio@gmail.com. If you do like the show, tell a friend. Okay, thanks very much. We'll be back with you in a week, December 28th, and we'll look forward to hearing from you. And though you are going away now, please be kind to each other, and whatever you do, don't go away mad. I'm Jeff Bushman. Good night.